You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained. Overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken. We trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. And today is the 11th day of January 2021. We're going to be continuing on reading Holy Priesthood, Volume 1, Chapter 3. This will be part 1 to that chapter. We have a babysitter now, so what I'm going to do from this point on is during the week I will be sleeping. I work from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. every morning, and then I help the kids and my wife get ready for school and for work, and I go to bed around 7:30-ish, and then I'm going to sleep until I wake up. So today I woke up about 1:30 p.m. and then set up the program. I'll read for about an hour. If we have guest call-ins, anybody wants to call in to talk, comment on what I've been reading, or anything else to do with Mormonism, you can call in the guest call-in number. And when I have finished what I'm going to be reading that day, then I'll take the phone calls. But I figure I'll probably be reading between 45 minutes to an hour. And then the next day I'll just do part 2 of whatever chapter we're reading or whatever. So anyway, I'm just going to get into the reading today. We're going to read until for about an hour, I guess, 45 minutes to an hour. When I get to be about 50% through with this chapter, I'll find a place to call it quits. So let's get into the reading today. Let's just start here. Priesthood versus Priestcraft, Chapter 3, Part 1 of Holy Priesthood, Volume 1, which you can read for free at ogdenkraut.com. He commandeth that there shall be no priestcrafts, for behold, priestcrafts are that men preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world, that they may get gain and praise of the world. But they seek not the welfare of Zion. 2 Nephi chapter 26, verse 29. A priest is required to be different from all other men. He should have two distinguishing features. One is in the nature of the office that he holds, and the other is in the in his character. His office commands him to labor and teach and administer the principles and the ordinances of the gospel. But his greatest labor should be to accept and perfect those principles in his own life. From a retrospect of the requirements of a servant of God to preach the gospel, we find few qualified even to be priests. And that's according to Joseph Smith and Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 112. Difficulty arises because men are prone to do evil because of the forces of the natural man. By overcoming evil, they seek to do the will of God. Thus, it is by their works that the inner man can be detected. For, quote, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It is against the nature of a good man to do evil, just as it is for a wicked man to do good. Because of this simple fact, Jesus concluded by saying, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 through 18, and verse 20. So on page 37 for those of you who are reading along. The power of the priesthood should be reflected in the lives and character of those who bear it. The power, glory, and blessings of the priesthood could not continue with those who received ordination only as their righteousness continued. For Cain also being authorized to offer sacrifices, but not offering it in righteousness, was cursed. It signifies then that the ordinances must be kept in the very way God has appointed it. Otherwise, their priesthood will prove a cursing instead of a blessing. Joseph Smith, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 169. According to the scriptures, a high priest is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1, and to bring men to God, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. But in both ancient and contemporary times, not many do. According to Jeremias, the historian, there were approximately 18,000 priests in the time of Jesus. Very few of them saw in that great high priest the kind of virtue they wanted to see. The priest made the temple of God into a den of thieves. They took the widow's money, they strained at gnats and swallowed camels. In general, they had very few qualities relevant to the office of priest. Although Jesus was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, Psalms 110, verse 4, they could not recognize the Lord of hosts. These Jewish leaders were lovers of mammon, or money and power, and had turned themselves into priests after the order of the world, and they despised Jesus for telling them so. In desperation to cover their sins and gratify their pride, they hired lawyers to trap Jesus, trying to pull him down to their own level. But failing to condemn him by the law or by the Torah, they became outlaws and attempted to kill him. Page 38. These chief priests of Judah were afraid Jesus would cause them to lose their place and nation. John chapter 11, verse 48. They were tied to Babylon and thereby had corrupted themselves and their holy office. They had sunk to the level that none other nation on earth would crucify their God. And so it was because of the priestcrafts and the iniquities. They at Jerusalem will stiffen their necks against him, that he be crucified. 2 Nephi chapter 10, verse 3 and 5. And so it was. When these priests rejected their great high priest, they lost their own priesthood. They feared he would cause them to lose their place and their nation, or their power and their so-called authority, if he remained alive. But when they killed him, they most certainly lost it anyways. In 2 Nephi chapter 26, several criteria are presented to help in distinguishing between priestcraft and priesthood. In priestcraft, men build up many churches for personal gain. You can find that in verse 20. Let's see, verse 20 of 2 Nephi chapter 26. They put down the power and the miracles of God, verse 20. So they tell you that you're blessed because miracles do not happen in their day. Or some crap that they come up with to try to justify why God doesn't do what he did in the past. Because they have to try to justify that to the people because their fruits are bad. They preach by their own wisdom and their own learning, verse 20. They preach that they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor, also in verse 20. And they exalt themselves in their pride, verse 20. They work in darkness and secret combinations, verse 22, and set themselves up as a light to the world, verse 29. They labor for money, verse 31. They seek praise of the world, verse 28, and they do not seek the welfare of Zion, verse 29. So they will make excuses as to why they don't live God's laws, because they do not care about the redemption of Zion. But, or in other words, they'll say, well, we don't live those higher laws today because fill in the blank. See, God has never rescinded anything he's asked us to do. Never. And when they do not, and my biggest two, or well, I guess three things, is the law of adoption, the law of consecration, and the law of plural celestial marriage. Like, these things were restored by the prophet Joseph Smith in the days of the restoration, and we do not live them anymore because those were for another people. Those were for those people back then, but not for us today. And we'll live it in the future, but we don't have to worry about it now. They make excuses up for why they do not care for the welfare of Zion and do not do as God has commanded for Zion's redemption. Because in the scripture, Joseph Smith taught the inspired translation of the Bible that when a people live all that God has commanded, then Zion will be redeemed and the church of the firstborn will come down out of heaven. And I've said this before. In order for that to happen, there have to be a people who will live all that God has commanded. But more than that, or well, part of that also is you have to have the law of adoption, because in order for people to be sealed to the fathers in heaven, they have to have a link on the earth. Now, Joseph Smith at that time was that link. when people were sealed to him through the law of adoption, they were sealed to him, who a man on the earth who was sealed to the heavens. We're on page 39. In the true priesthood, men do not work in darkness, verse 23. They persuade all men to repentance, verse 27. And I have to say, repentance got screwed up when the Roman Catholics created the Vulgate Bible. See, before the Vulgate Bible, everybody understood repentance as turning away from your sins and turning back to God. But when the Vulgate was translated, they used words that meant to punish and like horrible things. So now repentance means you have to inflict yourself and feel horrible about what you've done and do all these things. But Satan uses that to condemn you. But repentance just truly means to turn back to God, turn away from your sins, get back on the path that God has asked you to be on to begin with. That's true repentance. Continuing on, they have charity and not suffer the laborer in Zion to perish, and that'll be in verse 30. They labor for Zion, not for money. Verse 31. That's why when you see these priest crafters going out and doing, or like these podcasters, they all do it for money. They do it to sell the gospel that they may get gain. And they labor for money, but they do not labor for Zion. Okay, so I just have a problem with that. That's why, even though I would like help doing the things that I do so I could share the message more, anything that people give me, which is very few, but people don't do that very often because I don't ask for it, I put back into the ministry so that I can like promote the program, promote the books, boost my posts on Facebook so that more people see them. I have a job. I have been a truck driver, and I got my CDL in 1995, and I have over 3 million miles of driving a semi-truck down the road, which has worn me out physically because vibrating in the truck all these miles has caused me to be an old man, even though I am only 43 years old. But I continue to do the things that I do to support my family and to do the work of the ministry. And that's the way it should be. Even Joseph Smith, he had a store that he earned money in. People that do these things to gain money, I believe that that is wrong and people shouldn't be doing that. Anyway, so let's see here. In verse 33, it says that they doeth that which is good among the children of men. See, these are the fruits that you're looking for. They doeth not save it. They doeth nothing save it be plain unto the children of men. Verse 33. They work by the power of God and revelation. Verse 13. In short, a false priest labors in and for the world. A true priest separates himself from it. A false priest labors under the jurisdiction of the world, but the true priests labor under the direction of God. There are few passages of Scripture that better describe priestcraft than section 121 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Quote, "Behold, there are many called, but few are chosen. And why are they not chosen? Because their hearts are set so much upon the things of this world, and they aspire to the honors of men, that they do not learn this one lesson. that the rights of the priesthood are inseparably connected with the powers of heaven, and that the powers of heaven cannot be controlled nor handled only upon the principles of righteousness. That they may be conferred upon us, it is true. But when we undertake to cover our sins, or to gratify our pride, or vain ambition, or to exercise control or dominion or compulsion upon the souls of the children of men in any degree of unrighteousness, behold, the heavens withdraw themselves, the Spirit of the Lord is grieved, and when it is withdrawn, amen to the priesthood or the authority of that man. Page 40. Behold, ere he is aware, he is left unto himself to kick against the pricks, to persecute the saints, and to fight against God. We have learned by sad experience that it is the nature and disposition of almost all men, as soon as they get a little authority, as they suppose, they will immediately begin to exercise unrighteous dominion. Hence, many are called, but few are chosen. No power or influence can or ought to be maintained by virtue of the priesthood, only by persuasion, by long suffering, and gentleness and meekness, and by love unfeigned. Verses 34 through 41. Although many are called to the priesthood, only a few are chosen and truly magnify their calling. This is because their hearts are set so much upon the things of this world. Some never receive the priesthood because the things of this world are more attractive. Some receive the priesthood and then later turn to materialism. Mammon has great powers. It buys businesses, real estate, and even nations. But its greatest power is captivating the hearts of men. Mammon was the devil's greatest temptation for Christ, so it is to all the rest of mankind. Temporal wealth and temporal power, these are the two great temptations that so often work against the priesthood. So when many are called, few are chosen. You can be given the priesthood by somebody who has laid their hands upon your head, but unless you magnify that and prove to God that you will do what he has commanded and not try to control other people or usurp authority over them or do it for power, wealth, or whatever, God is never going to give you the fullness of the priesthood. If you prove yourself, he will eventually lay his hands upon your head and give you the fullness of the priesthood. Continuing on. And again, many are not chosen by the Lord because they aspire to the honors of men. How strange that pride, vanity, and self-esteem can replace the honors that belong to the Father. Vanity and self, and this, they get prideful in their knowledge, they get prideful in their position. You know, I used to have a problem, and I know it sounds like I have a problem with pride now. I don't. The only reason I'm bold in my witness is because God has told me to be bold. He has instructed me to do what I do. But before he did that, I wouldn't tell people about my own experiences, but I would share and I would teach. Now, my favorite position, and I've had different callings in the church, was gospel doctrine teacher or elders' quorum teacher. I love doing those positions. But my favorite position is to be the guy in class to sit on the side. Now, I have post-traumatic stress disorder because of things that happened to me when I was younger. So I will always sit on the side of the classroom with my back against the wall. That way I can see the people and I can see the teacher. And that's my most comfortable place. And my favorite thing to do is to study the lesson so that I can help teach. But I love to make comments. And I would notice from time to time, I would start to get prideful in my knowledge. And when that happened, I would shut my mouth and I would stop talking, or I would only share things a little bit because I didn't want to get puffed up with pride. But some people, they love their knowledge. Now, one of the things that drives me absolutely insane is when people know a lot, but they don't do anything about it. They're like the rabbis and the Pharisees of old. They knew a lot, as they supposed, but they didn't live it. They made excuses as to why they didn't have to do this, that, or the other. Now, there's some things that we can't do as a people without a group effort, like law consecration and those type of things, united orders. But we can be living our lives in such a way that we are following God's instructions as close as we can by ourselves or in our own family groups. All right, so let me get back into the reading. Vanity and self-pride are deeply embedded in the very character of men because it is the nature and disposition of almost all men. As soon as they get a little authority, as they suppose, they will immediately begin to exercise unrighteous dominion. Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verse 39. However, if they use the priesthood as an authority to aspire to honors or riches, it no longer remains the power of God. Page 41. I might just read through this chapter today. I actually feel pretty good, I actually worked after church yesterday. Well, I got my kids' food and everything, and my wife had to go to a thing that she had to go to. And I brought the kids home, and we did a couple of things around the house, but I got to work at 2:30 p.m. And I worked until 4. Well, I finished cleaning my truck up about 4:30 this morning, so 14 hours. And then I went home, did some stuff before I woke my wife up around 5:30, and then took a shower, and then I helped her get ready. She left at 6:45 this morning. I did some stuff with my kids, got my little girl's hair combed and in ponytails and all that fun stuff, and they all went to school about 7:20. They got on the bus this morning about 7:20, and then I went to bed around 8 this morning. I only slept till like, I think it was 1:30-ish, something like that. And now I'm up. So like, it's kind of surprising that I'm even up right now because I worked a full 14-hour day yesterday. We got up at 8 o'clock in the morning yesterday, and I was up for 24 hours. So I didn't think I would be able to be this awake to read today. But I thought, if I can just read half of this chapter, maybe I'll be fine, but I feel fine right now. So we're 38% through this. I think I can do the whole chapter today. So one thing that I have to try to moderate myself is I will only sleep 5 or 6 hours, and then I wake up for a little while, and then I will take a nap before I get up and go to work. So I have to be to work at 5. I like to try to get in early because it takes a full 12 hours for me to do a normal shift. And I like to have the semi-truck back for my co-driver who drives during the day before 5 a.m. because that's when he's supposed to leave. And he drives me a little bit nuts because he likes to come in at 4. But anyway, So let's see how far we can get today. But we're on page 41 for those of you who are reading along. And like I said, the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. The studio is open. The phone lines are open for people to call in. If we have anybody after I finish 50%, then I'll just take the calls and then we'll just finish, the reading tomorrow, but we'll see what happens. All right, so page 41. One point of the doctrine should be clarified here. God said that if men use priesthood in any degree of unrighteousness, behold, the heavens withdraw themselves, and the Spirit of the Lord is grieved, and when it is withdrawn, amen to the priesthood or the authority of that man. Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verse 37. This does not mean that a man will actually lose his priesthood. If that were true, then no mortal man would be holding any priesthood today, for no man is perfect. It means that if a man does something wrong in any degree of unrighteousness, then the Spirit of the Lord is grieved and will not sanction that particular act of priesthood. The more righteous a man acts, the more priesthood is manifest, magnified, and accepted by God. So one of the things I like to tell people is the Holy Spirit dwells in a holy temple, and God sanctifies you by his atonement and by his sanctification, right? So that you can have the Spirit to be with you. When you have the Spirit with you, you can know that you're clean and pure before God. When you have the Spirit with you, you're magnifying your office and your calling in the priesthood. But when you do things so that the Spirit is not with you, the priesthood, I'm just saying the priesthood is not magnified in you, and maybe the authority that you think you have, you don't have. Now, there's some other issues we're going to get into later with the priesthood, but let's just continue on. Let's see here. The more wicked a man becomes, the less his priesthood functions, and he will eventually lose the power of the priesthood and even the priesthood itself. The priesthood requires a condition in which, quote, we should not walk merely... We should walk not merely in the authority of the appointment, but in the virtues and qualities that are itself necessary accompaniments. I can't say that word. The authority to be the Father's representative has been given to us, and the legality of our administrations has been acknowledged on high. But whether we are the Father's representatives beyond holding his authority remains yet to be seen. One thing is certain. Divine authority alone is not sufficient to make us representatives of God. Some men possess that, but nothing else. But nothing else. And that's Millennial Star, Volume 20, page 641. As explained then, some men who bear the priesthood possess the authority of God, but not the attributes. They are the type to give and take orders, but they seldom reflect the inspiration to think and act for themselves. They fall into the businessman world, they're Babylonian businessmen, and soon conduct the affairs of God after the manner of merchants. They employ salesmanship, advertising, goodwill meetings, business transactions, and all the tools of company public relations to gain their converts. We're on page 42. But what has their new subject been converted to? Has he gained a testimony of the spiritual powers of the priesthood, or is he just another cog in the machinery or another statistical number to the corporation? Jesus rebuked the priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees for such activities by saying, "Ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Matthew chapter 23, verse 15. The calling of God to the modern day missionary is the same as it has always been. Ye are called to bring to pass the gathering of mine elect, For mine elect hear my voice and harden not their hearts. Doctrine and Covenants, section 29, verse 27. The elect rejoice in the spiritual powers of the priesthood, and the unelect rejoice in the temporal powers of the corporation. The work of the priesthood, then, should not be just to fill the church with a vast number of members. God wants quality rather than quantity, for he seeks a people that he can speak to. Holy Father, said Jesus, the world hath not known thee, and surely the host of the world do not know him today. God not only wants his people to preach true principles, but he wants them to live those true principles. In doing that, they can bring heaven to earth rather than mammon to heaven. To most Latter-day Saints today, the priesthood means their status. Their priesthood office and title have a prestigious temporal appearance, and it seems that the man with the most money is the man most blessed with a higher priesthood position. Generally speaking, the wealthier he is, the more qualified he is for the promotion in the church. Have you seen very many poor state presidents or poor general authorities? It seems that a fine car, a large home, and a successful business are all necessary criteria for selecting mission presidents, state presidents, and apostles in the church today. These temporal assets may bring respect from the rest of the world, but the prophet Joseph Smith said, quote, the world always mistook false prophets for true ones, and that the true prophets were the most honorable men of the earth, and yet they were always banished from society. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, 206. So often poverty follows the prophets, but wealth was a partner of pride. The priesthood does not come with the same aura as Manos authority. It is neither given by man, nor can it be taken away by man. Priesthood comes from God, and it is controlled by him and can only be taken away by him. When man attempts to control or govern others with his priesthood, then it becomes priestcraft. How often priesthood holders will tell others, obey me or ye cannot function in the priesthood or its ordinances, or obey me or be excommunicated. Nephi described this delicate situation by saying, quote, wherefore he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation. So like when the church decides that people who have homosexual parents that are living in homosexual marriages, that the children of those people are not allowed to be baptized. Well, right here, they contradict the scriptures. And Joseph Smith said, if they contradict the Bible, the Book of Mormon, or the Doctrine and Covenants, you have to set them down as imposters. So let's read the scripture again. Wherefore he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, depart from me? Behold, I say unto you, nay, but he saith, come unto me, all ye ends of the earth. Behold, hath he commanded any of that they should depart out of the synagogues or out of the houses of worship? Behold, I say unto you, nay, hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he hath given it free for all men, and he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men to repentance. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But all men are privileged, the one like unto the other, and none are forbidden. He commandeth that there shall be no priestcrafts. For behold, priestcrafts are that men preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world. Second Nephi, chapter 26, verse 24 through 29. And for those of you reading along, we're on page 44. Just checking the studio. There's nobody calling you, and that's fine. The guest call-in number, like I said, is 917-889-8827. We're actually 65% through the reading today. So from this point on, we will take phone calls. And if we have any calls, that's great. If not, that's the way it is. And that's actually to be expected because we do have phone calls sometimes, but it doesn't happen very often. All right, so let's get on with the reading. We're 66% through and page 44. Priest is not a power to govern others, but to serve and protect them. It does not dictate orders, but teaches principles. By teaching correct principles, individuals are free to govern their own lives. The responsibility is their own. Priesthood has little or no relevance to a military-like authority, for it has no commando-based system. It has never operated with a top-to-bottom ripple effect, where the leader commands and all others must obey. The president of the church mandates the appointments, the offices, and the work of the church, but not the lives of the individual. Free agency is a fertile soil in which the priesthood thrives. Okay? So when people in authority positions try to control your life, you know that they are operating outside the purview of their authority. And another thing, too, I want to just say, okay, the president and leadership of the church have a stewardship over the church to receive revelation for the direction in which the church is going. But they do not have, like, I don't know how to say this. God is no respecter of persons. If God wants to reveal something to you, he has the right and the authority to do it. It doesn't mean you're receiving a revelation for the church. And when other people tell you about their revelations, you need to understand that it's okay for them to receive revelations. And if you choose to see if a principle that they're teaching is correct, you can study it out for yourself if you choose to, and come to a determination on whether you believe it or not. And then instead of just trusting in the flesh of someone else, you actually go to God and get confirmation of the thing for yourself. Now, if you don't get confirmation and the Spirit withdraws from you, you can know the principle the person is teaching is false, and you don't have to worry about it. But we are meant to be built upon the rock of revelation. God wants us to go to him, to get revelation for ourselves, to stand upon the rock of revelation. See, I know for a fact that Joseph Smith is a true prophet. No matter what I hear about him, no matter what faults he may or may not have had, I know that he was the Lord's anointed. I know that by revelation. So no matter what people say, I'm built upon the rock of revelation. But there are too many people in the church that believe without revelation that Joseph Smith is a true prophet, but then when they find anything about him, about his imperfections or lies that people tell about him, they fall away and then they become enemies of God because they become enemies of the Lord's anointed, who was Joseph Smith. If the church would teach them how to get revelation and confirmation for themselves, people wouldn't have such a problem. But people place their trust in the authority of man rather than the revelation of God through the Holy Spirit and confirmation of the Holy Spirit. Continuing on with the reading. It is a self-governing power designed to exalt the individual himself, not to exalt someone else. Neither can one person totally depend on guidance from another, even though he be a prophet. For the prophet Joseph Smith said, quote, "The people should each one stand for himself and depend on no man or men in that state of corruption in the Jewish church. The righteous persons could only deliver their own souls." And he applied it to the present state of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and said, if the people departed from the Lord, or the rock of revelation, they must fall, that they were depending on the prophet, or they were depending on the leaders too much. And remember, he is the prophet. He's saying people are depending upon him too much, that they have to get revelation for themselves, not to put their trust in him. And he knows he's a prophet. He knows the things that he is saying is true. But people are placing their trust. They think they're going to ride on his coattails into the celestial kingdom. But he's saying they've got to get revelation for themselves. They have to stand on their own two feet. Continuing on, and I'm going to just repeat this real quick, that they are depending on men. The people should each one stand for himself and depend on no man or men in that state of corruption of the Jewish church. That righteous persons could only deliver their own souls and applied it to the present state of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And he said that the people departed from the Lord, and that they must fall, and that they were depending upon the prophet. Hence, they were darkened in their minds in consequence of neglecting the duties devolving upon themselves. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 237 and 238. The true priests and high priests officiate in ordinances necessary in the work of salvation, such as baptism, sacrament, blessings, and ordinations, with all their attending signs, tokens, rituals, and sacrifices. To perform such a righteous work requires dedication, devotion, and a great deal of time and study. The obligations of the priesthood are not simple or easy, as the Lord describes in the following passage. And we're on page 45 for those of you who are reading along. No power or influence can or ought to be maintained by virtue of the priesthood, only by persuasion and by long-suffering, by gentleness and meekness, and by love and fain, by kindness and by pure knowledge, which shall greatly enlarge the soul without hypocrisy and without guile. Let virtue garnish thy thoughts unceasingly, then shall thy confidence wax strong in the presence of God, and the doctrines of the priesthood shall distill upon thy soul as the dews from heaven. The Holy Ghost shall be thy constant companion, and thy scepter, an unchanging scepter of righteousness and truth. And thy dominion shall be an everlasting dominion, and without compulsory means it shall flow unto thee forever and ever. Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verses 41 and 42, also 45 and 46. Priesthood is a free agency authority designed to allow men the potential of growing in power, might, and excellence until they are capable of enjoying every ordinance, accepting every correct principle, and performing every possible good work, even to the creation of immense stellar systems. Mortal men's authority and power are limited and will soon vanish into the records of the past. But the rights and blessings and opportunities of the priesthood are unlimited and will progress forever and ever. In fact, that priesthood is a perfect law of theocracy and stands as God to give laws to the people, administering endless lives, that's multiple mortal probation stuff, administering endless lives to the sons and the daughters of Adam. Joseph Smith, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 322. There is a spirit and a desire that attend the man with priesthood. It acts as a constant source of energy, enthusiasm, and joy to his soul. He strives in it, in its labors, without remuneration, because he so dearly loves it. Page 46. What then is the priesthood on this earth? It is what Brigham Young and the 12 wrote in the Times and Seasons in 1839. They called the priesthood an onerous duty, a load to be borne. Priesthood by Hugh Nibley, Sunstone, December 1990, page 11. The prophet Joseph described it as an untiring zeal, which also fired the souls of the ancient patriarchs and prophets. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 232. It's like when Jeremiah said that he wished that he could put it aside, but it was like a fire pent up in his bones, and he had to do as God commanded. He had to serve the people by warning them of their errors, by giving the people the oracles of God that were given to him, which is the words of God, not the prophet themselves. Like, he didn't want to do it because of the persecution that came upon him. Maybe he was tired and he didn't want to do it because he was tired because of his labors in the world. I don't know. That's what my problem is. But it was like a fire pent up in his bones. He had to be obedient. And that's what my problem is too. When I don't do these radio programs, I am upset with myself. Even though it's hard for me to do them because of my work schedule, I want to teach the people and do as I have been commanded. And this radio program is part of doing what God has commanded me to do, to be bold with my witness. Parley P. Pratt understood this energy and zeal that attended the priesthood. He, along with others, noticed the awesome responsibility that is assumed by the bearer, and it cannot be easily set aside. The faithful men who hold the priesthood will become dedicated to it, and it becomes the aim and destiny of his very soul. Parley proclaimed, and let me just get a drink real quick. We're 86% through with the reading today, so on the home stretch. You have been baptized, and you have had the laying on of hands, and some have been ordained, and some anointed with the holy anointing. The Spirit has been given you, and you will find, if you undertake to rest, it will be the hardest work you will ever perform. I came home here from a foreign mission. I presented myself to our president, inquired what I should do now. He said, rest. Or rest, said he. And if he had been set to turn the world over and dig down a mountain and go to the ends of the earth and traverse the deserts of Arabia, it would have been easier than to have undertaken to rest. While the priesthood was upon me, I have received the holy anointing and can never rest till my last enemy is conquered and death is destroyed and truth reigns triumphant. May God bless you. May God bless you all. Amen. And that's Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, page 15. That was Parley P. Pratt. The holy priesthood is designed to be the greatest power for good among men. It can become the tremendous blessings or the cause of great sorrow and cursings. The bearer should avoid pride and compromise with the world, compromises with the world. Too many men are ordained to the priesthood and do not remain faithful to it. We're on page 47. No man has the power to do much of real worth in this life unless he continually seeks for that which is right. The prophet Joseph Smith explained, a man can do nothing for himself unless God directs him in the right way, and the priesthood is for that purpose. Teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, page 364. The true priest loves to obey the principles and ordinances of the gospel because they are the highest good that can be perceived. The result of his labors extend beyond the confines of his mortality. They reach into the celestial worlds. But other men labor for the things of this world, and this is the distinction between priesthood and priestcraft. This, then, is true priesthood, to be images of the living God, exhibiting in our characteristics, his brightness and his strength, to be girt and endowed with the purity of his nature, to be unsullied in heart and mind, to stand by the strength of redeeming, saving qualities, to bless and bless and bless again, notwithstanding ingratitude in some building. Sustaining and protecting all the time, to fight all spirits of division and all principles of death, to help the weak, the downtrodden, and the helpless, till helping becomes our natural food, working on all principles that yield the nourishment, support, and strength, till our very presence is as the sun, cheering and blessing all, so shall God increase with us, refreshing our own spirits and watering all around. And characteristics of the holy priesthood will grow out from us like the branches of the fruitful tree that yielded shelter, shield, and fruit. E. Harrison in the Millennial Star, Volume 20, page 643. If a man can do this, he shall surely exemplify that he bears the priesthood of God. So when we come back, we'll be on chapter 4, which talks about the powers of the priesthood. And it doesn't look like we have any guest callers. But let me see if we have any messages on Facebook. Once again, the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And it doesn't look like we have anybody who's called in today, which is fine, because I will turn this off and get ready for work. It's 3 o'clock my time. And my co-driver just informed me that he is leaving the power plant and he is headed back to the yard. So I can actually get up and go to work now. So it's kind of like a balancing act, though, because if I go in too early, then I get off too early. And then I have a hard time helping my family in the morning. So I wish my co-driver would do a 6-to-6 or a 7-to-7. Well, kind of. It's hard. It's just difficult. Anyway, I'm going to let you go, and we are going to I'll just play the music for exiting. Oh, by the way, if any of you are not in this particular group, I suggest getting in the group. It's called the Doctrines of Christ, and they do a Zoom call most every Monday and Tuesday. They sometimes do them on Sundays and Wednesdays too. And I would love to be able to share these all the time, but just the way things are, I can't. But if you're interested in hearing, like, the teachings that come from the people on these programs, I would suggest that you add yourself to this group. Tonight, Phil Davis will be teaching his presentation starting at 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. To be born of God is the baptism of fire and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's see. In light of Alma and the Book of Mormon. So this Zoom meeting will start today, January 11th, 2021 at 8 p.m. And you can find out more information about that by joining the Doctrine of Christ on Facebook group and be part of that. So how it usually works is Phil will present his lesson that he has prepared, and then he will open it up for people to call in. Now, they do record the teaching portion of the lesson for the podcast. After it's been edited, they'll add it to the Doctrines of Christ on iTunes, but they do not record the part where people talk, which I wish they did because I love that part the most. I mean, to hear people's insights and stuff, it's enjoyable. I love the whole thing. I don't agree with everything. Excuse me. I don't agree with everything that Phil Davis talks about, but you know what? At least he's trying. And like, here's the other thing that drives me nuts about the church in general. If they would teach people how to get revelation for themselves, and a false prophet came along, it wouldn't matter because they knew how to get revelation for themselves, and they could learn to trust or not trust, you know, what is being said by revelation. But when the leaders of the church don't teach those things, then they're going to fight against people that might say something wrong. Instead of teaching people the true and correct principles and how to get revelation for themselves. All right, so we don't have any guest callers, so I'm going to call it quits at that. And we'll listen to the ending music, and then I'll try to be back on tomorrow to do chapter four of Holy Priesthood, Volume 1. Thank you for listening. Take care, everyone. God bless. Goodbye.